Okay, it's always a pleasure to be here, and I just want to do an added level of Hakdashah for today. Chai Elul was my father, Rav David Eliach's birthday, so he's 90 plus. B'yayin hara, I do not want to give his age, so I want to wish him a happy birthday today. Since we're close to that date, we also celebrated over Rosh Hashanah, so I just want to do it as a dedication to him because he really was so instrumental in my learning all the years and continues to be. So I just want to give him a big mazal tov and a todah rabah. Okay, we're starting with Sefer Yonah. We're doing Sefer Yonah today. And the way I titled this shiur is Tshuva and Sefer Yonah, the boat, the water, and the sinful city. And that's really what I would like to discuss today. Sefer Yonah is a very interesting sefer, and so many different mefarshim explain it in so many different ways. On the one hand, we have Yonah kipshuto, Yonah as the story is written. It's a simple story that happened, and we're learning about the story of Yonah. On the other hand, right, Yosef Ibn Kaspi, in the Shita of the Rambam, pretty much says that half of Sefer Yonah is really an allegory. Doesn't take away from its nevuah, because a nevuah is still Dvar Hashem coming to you, but the question is, did it really happen, all of it, or not? Right? What's the message of Sefer Yonah? So that is already a different take on Sefer Yonah. Another view of Sefer Yonah is the view of the Gra, the Gaon Mivilna. He says the whole thing is an allegory, and it's an allegory about your neshama. Your neshama, right, is the whole story of running away from Hashem in your guf, and the whole experience is really about your soul. What we're going to do today is that we're going to really approach Sefer Yonah from the point of view of how it is written in the Tanakh and what is the message it wants to give. And we're more going to go according to the Shita of the Radak and Rav Ibn Shu'eb. When we look at Sefer Yonah, the first thing we know is in Sefer Melachim Bet, Perek Yudalet, it already tells us about Yonah. We meet Yonah with Aseret HaShvatim, the 10 tribes, northern tribes of Israel. We're with Yeravam ben Yoash. He's Yeravam HaSheni. He's the second Yeravam. He's the last one of the big dynasties in Aseret HaShvatim up north. He is a big sinner, right? But Hashem decides that he doesn't want to destroy Am Yisrael yet. He's going to destroy them later. And he sends them Yonah. Look at the Pesukim. We're in source number one. Right, Bishnat 15 Shana La Amatziah Ben Yoash Melech Yehuda, during the time period of Amatziah, who's the king in Yehuda, we have a Yeravam Ben Yoash, who's the last Yeravam, right, Yeravam HaSheni, we call him, who's one of the last major kings in Shomron, the northern kingdom. He does Hara B'nei Hashem, he follows all the Chataim of Yeravam Ben Nevat, Yeravam number one, right, but because Hashem doesn't want to destroy Am Yisrael and has Rachamim for them, right? He doesn't send them into Galut yet. He gives them a successful economy. They're very, very robust. They're very, very successful internationally, nationally. And who was the Navi during this time? Look at Pasuk Kafhei. Kidvar Hashem Elokei Yisrael asher diber yad avdo Yonah ben Amitai ha-Navi. So we have Yonah. He exists. He's a Navi during the time of Aseret HaShvatim. But it doesn't tell us his nevuah here. We only know that during his time, Hashem had rachamim on Malchut Am Yisrael, the 10 northern tribes, and Hashem did not want to destroy them. Look at Pasuk Kav Zayin. V'lo diber Hashem limchot et Shem Yisrael. What did Hashem want to do during this time period? He wanted to destroy the Aseret HaShvatim. We know later on he does. He sends out the Aseret HaShvatim. He wants to do it during Yonah's time, but he doesn't. V'yoshiem biyad Yeravam ben Yoash. Now, it doesn't tell us B'nai Israel did tshuva in this at all in the Pshat, right? But it tells us that Yonah ben Amitai was the Navi. And we have many different perushim. What happened during this time? One view is that he did come to tell B'nai Israel to do tshuva, and they did tshuva, so they told him, well, you know, your nevuot of Puranut, your nevuot of destruction did not come true, so we don't believe you. But in the Pshat, the reason, right, Hashem does not destroy Am Yisrael is not because they do tshuva, it doesn't say that, right? These other views of the Mefarshim, it's because Hashem had rachamim on Am Yisrael, which means already the first time we meet Yonah ben Amitai in Tanakh, it's an issue of Hashem having rachamim on Am Yisrael and doesn't want to destroy them just because Hashem has rachamim. Because look at the language, right? Vayoshiem, he saves them. Right? Hashem sees their oppression and he saves them, but it doesn't give us a reason. It's because he just doesn't want to destroy Am Yisrael. That's our prelude. Now we want to see in Sefer Yonah. In Sefer Yonah, which is only a nevuah for Nineveh, but we know Yonah is already a Navi for Am Yisrael, Sefer Yonah, the whole Sefer that's just dedicated to his nevuah and to his life, that we know something about him, right, at least his actions, more than just mentioning him, is Sefer Yonah. So let's see what Sefer Yonah is telling us. Can we build off what we already know in Melachim Bet, as we just saw? Can we build off what we're going to see in other Sfarim and Tanakh? Let's understand. Let's see what we can find out with Sefer Yonah. Another thing that's important for us in Sefer Yonah is because it's so ambiguous, it really can be interpreted many different ways. And the beauty of that is that its meaning for the Mincha on Yom Kippur, right, is very deep. Because on the one hand, we have the simple story that everyone could relate to. On the other hand, we have so many different ways of understanding it, as we already mentioned earlier. But right before you're going into Ni'ilah, the last time you're going to be able to say a real full vidui is when we read Sefer Yonah. So the significance of Sefer Yonah is very big, because already in Megillah, right, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, it already tells us that Maftirin B'Yonah. We know that there's a very early tradition that we read the Haftorah of Yonah on the Mincha of Yom Kippur. Now you all know, when do we usually read Haftorahs? We only read them during Shacharit. It's only after Kriyat HaTorah. Right? We know there was a very early practice in Babel that they used to read Haftarah also at Mincha, but that was a practice that was stopped. But in the Gemara, the only source, right, that we have for Haftorah that is also going to be in Mincha is this Haftarah. So Sefer Yonah is a rule breaker because Yom Kippur is a rule breaker. We have an extra tefillah that we do on Yom Kippur. We have Ni'ilah. What leads us into Ni'ilah? The story of Yonah. So there has to be something very important about the story of Yonah, that it was set as the Haftarah that we read on Mincha, and that it's going to lead us to Ni'ilah. What is it about Sefer Yonah that the Chachamim already stated it as that last, to use a good sports metaphor, right, you're in the fourth quarter, right, and everyone has a different situation. Either, right, you're losing the game and you're all the way right back and you have to do the whole field, right, and you just have Mincha and Ne'ilah to make it to the end zone, or you're close to the end zone but you haven't gotten there yet, right, and you still want to make it. What will push you to that point? For those in the back, Sefer Yonah works, and for those in the front, very close, right, goal to go, you're ready that last few yards, right, and you can make it in there, Sefer Yonah works. So what we're going to try to find out today is, why does it work? Why does Sefer Yonah, why is it seen as the universal push to tshuva on all levels? And that's what we're going to try to see today. So we're in Yonah Perek Aleph, we're starting with the Sefer. Vayidvar Hashem al Yonah ben Amitai lemor. So Yonah is the same Yonah, and Hashem tells him, Kum lechel Ninveh, get up, go to Ninveh, ha'ir ha'gdola, the big city, cry out to it, ki al tara atam lefanai. Because they were very evil, and their evil has even come up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They already came all the way up, right, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wants you to call out to them. But look what it doesn't say. It doesn't tell us what his nevuah is. Usually a Navi, we want him to give a nevuah. It tells us what his nevuah is. We only find out Yonah's nevuah later on. We don't see it yet. We just know that Hashem wants him to call out to Nineveh. So too, in Malachim, what don't we know about Yonah? We don't know his nevuah. We just know that he was the Navi of his time. And that's why it's so interesting that Yonah also is identified with us with a certain kind of ambivalence, but also a certain kind of quietude. He stands back. We don't really know. He doesn't say his nevuah, but we see all the actions that he's going to do. Vayakam Yonah. Yonah gets up, livroch Tarshish. He runs to Tarshish. And what does he try to do? He tries to run away from Hashem. And that's another thing that we're going to see. What is Sefer Yonah about? Is it really about Nineveh's tshuva? Is it about Yonah? Right? Is it going to be about the sailors on the ship? Which means Sefer Yonah is going to show us, and each perek is really a different unit in and of itself. Sefer Yonah is going to show us different approaches to tragedy, to difficulty, to confrontations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, and how to solve those different situations. So it's not that Sefer Yonah is only about Nineveh. It's really about all these different four components. So Yonah gets up, he runs away, milifnei Hashem. He's constantly trying to run away from Hashem, right? And can you run away from Hashem? So the Abudraham wants to say that really what's all Sefer Yonah about? Trying to show us you can never run away from Hashem. That's really the message. And the last piece that you have right before the Ilah is that you can't run away from Hashem. So you thought all of you know, Yom Kippur, you're just, you know, davening and you don't think Hashem sees you or you're not really connected. So the bottom line, according to Yabudraham, is that we read it right towards the end because you really have to understand, right, that everything you did is Lifnei Hashem. And you are Lifnei Hashem right now. And this is your last chance, right, to really try to do tshuva, right, Lifnei Hashem. And you can never be away from Hashem. That's the view of the Yabudraham. So Yonah tries to run away from Hashem. He finds a boat, right? He goes down in the boat. Again, why? Look at Pasuk Gimel, because he's trying to run away milifnei Hashem. Constantly it's telling us that he's trying to run away milifnei Hashem. He goes down into the boat. The Ibn Ezra explains, right, that why is it milifnei Hashem? We have this concept that Nevuah is really focused in Eretz Yisrael. So the Navi, Yonah, sees Nevuah, it only can reach you in Eretz Yisrael. If you're out of Eretz Yisrael, Nevuah is not going to reach you, and that's why he goes into a boat. And he goes into a boat and he goes on bottom, because he sees it like cell phone reception, right? If you're next to the cell phone tower, which is in Eretz Yisrael, then you have very good reception. If you go far away from the cell phone tower, you have worse reception. But for sure, if you go into the basement, if you go into the bottom of the ship, you won't have any reception at all. So that's what Ibn Ezra pretty much, obviously he didn't have cell phones in his day, tries to explain that that's really what this is. The further you get, and we also have this idea in the Midrash as well, that he runs away because he thinks outside of Eretz Yisrael he won't have, right, reception, right, of Dvar Hashem. So clearly this idea of him trying to run away from Hashem, and what happens? Hashem finds him. Pasuk Dalet, Hashem finds him, and he starts a storm. And the storm is about to break the boat that he is in, right? So now we see we're in crisis situations. So all the sailors, right, all the sailors are fearful, right, and they cry out to their gods, which means here's Yonah connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know he's a Navi. He tries to run away from Hashem. And what do all the sailors want when they find tragedy in their life and they find this storm? They're trying to find their God, which means the contrast here is enormous, which means Yonah's running away, and when they're feeling tragedy, they're trying to connect, right, with their God. And what do? They throw all the, you know, material goods off of the ship, right? And what is Yonah doing? He's going even lower and lower, and he falls asleep, which means he is not concerned, he is not touched by this storm at all. He knows, of course, that it's because of him, we find out later, but he thinks he can just shut off everything, and he falls asleep, into a deep sleep. Now, we all know in Tanakh, when you fall into a sleep, you're always going to have dreams. And what do we see about Yonah? Yonah doesn't have any dreams here. He wants to cut himself off, and we see that he really is able to disassociate himself from everything that's going on, or is trying to. Right? And when Rava Chovel, when the captain of the ship, comes to him and he says, how could you be sleeping? Right? Get up and cry out to your gods. Maybe he's going to help us. V'lo noved, and we're not going to be lost. Right? What do all the people say one to the other? They say, okay, since he's not responding, you have to understand, they're asking him to cry out to their God, and what is it clear that he doesn't do in Pasuk Vav? He's not crying out to his God. He's just still trying to sleep. Or he's not responding, which means we understand Yonah is not responding in any situation here. Hashem told him to cry out, right, to give this nevuah, and we see all the actions that he's doing, but he hasn't spoken yet, right? He hasn't said one word. So we know that he's not responding to the captain who says, cry out to your God. So what do? Right? They decide that they're going to draw lots. And when they draw lots, the Akedat Yitzchak says, they draw many lots. So they don't just do one and, oh, see, he comes out. So that's why they figure that he's responsible. Number one, they think he's responsible because he's not responding. But number two, they draw many lots. It says, Napila Goralot. It doesn't just say Goral, right? They do it over and over and over again, according to the Akedat Yitzchak. And what happens? They see it falls on Yonah. So they ask him, and they say, tell us, Hagidana, which means, what does Yonah have to do? He has to speak up. What doesn't Yonah want to do? He doesn't want to speak up. That's his whole issue, right? Dvar Hashem is in his mouth, and he doesn't want to speak up. And the Rava Chovel, the captain, is pushing him, and he's saying, you have to tell us, right? Why is all this evil happening to us? What's your job? Where do you come from? Right? Who are you? And what does Yonah respond? Right? He says, Ivri Anochi. Which means the theme in this whole piece is the idea of fear, which means the people in the boat are fearful. Yonah says, I'm fearful of Hashem who made the Yam and the Yabasha, which means Yonah is now discussing this idea of fear of heaven, right? I am fearful, right, of Hashem, right? Sorry, I have Yiras Hashem, excuse me, who created the land, right? And the skies, right, heaven and earth, the ocean, excuse me, and the land. And he says, Ivri Anochi. Right away when he says Ivri Anochi, he's identifying himself with Avraham, right? Because we usually call Avraham Ha'ivri, Hebrew. And what do they fear right away? Pasuk Yud, Vayir'u Anashim Yir'a Gdola, which means, what do we see? The few words that Yonah is able to tell them is able to have an impact on them. Because before it just says they have fear, right? Now, all of a sudden, they have a big fear, Yir'a Gdola, which means the few words that Yonah was able to say, we see have a huge impact on the Malachim. So we see that he's a very successful Navi in the sense that once he says his words, they have impact. And they say to him, what did you do? Because he explained to them that he's hiding from Hashem and he's running away from Hashem. And they ask him what to do. And he says, you know what? If you pick me up, look at Pasuk Yud Bet, Sa'uni v'hatiluni elayam. If you pick me up and throw me into the ocean, right, the ocean is going to be quiet. Because I know that this storm, right, look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, right, there's a storm. I know that because of me, this storm is on you. So what does this show? Even though he went to sleep in the bottom of the boat, he knows that all these things are happening because of him. So what is he going to do as a result? Is he going to stand up then and say his words that he knows this is what God sent him to do? Or is he going to be koveshet nevuato? Is he going to be holding his nevuah in? Right? And who are the people who cry out here? Which means not Yonah. It's the people in the boat. Look at Pasuk Yudalid. Vayikru'u al Hashem. Till now, they are fearing, and they fear each one their own gods. But just these words of Yonah, and just this understanding, all of a sudden, they cry out to Hashem. Which means, what do we see already, just from the first story, that Yonah is very successful? His words really have impact. And the people around him are really impacted by his words. And when they cry out to Hashem, it doesn't say just fear. Now they cry out to Hashem. Right? And they say, Ana Hashem, it's a tefillah all of a sudden, not just a fear, they're crying out to their gods. We don't want to kill this person. The altiten aleinu dam naki. We don't want innocent blood on our hands. Ki ata Hashem kasher chafatzta asita. They all understand what? That Hashem can do whatever he wants. And Yonah doesn't understand this. Which means we have this real tension in this perek. Which means on the one hand we know Yonah is Navi Hashem. And yet he goes and he tries to run away from Hashem, but even from what he said to all these people, what does he realize? He can't run away from Hashem, right? And his words are very impactful because he's living it, but the question is, why doesn't Yonah want to go out and give this nevuah? If he knows it's Dvar Hashem, and he knows it's real, and he knows he has this ability. What do? Right? First, they try to row back to dry land. Look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. First, they really try to row back to dry land, but they can't because of this storm. Pasuk Tetvav, they pick Yonah up and they throw him into the ocean, right? Vayamoda am mizapo. The minute they throw Yonah into the ocean, the Midrash says something very beautiful, right? That they were not so sure that it would work, so first they put his toe in and it stops. They put his whole body in and it stops. So they realize that, you know, Yonah is really responsible because every time they pull him back on board, right, the storm continues. They throw him into the Yam, but look, Vayisuat Yonah v'yitilu, exactly what he told them to do. Pick me up and throw me in. So Vayisu, who first has a certain kind of connection, they carry him and then they throw him in, which means they're connected to Yonah, which means they're able to form this connection even though he is the source of all their problems. They feel a certain compassion. They cry out to Hashem. They don't want to kill him. And Pasuk Tetzayin, Vayir'u ha'anashim yir'a gdola k'Hashem. They have a huge fear of Hashem, and they bring korbanot. Which means the theme in Perek Aleph in Yonah is about yiras Hashem. The fear of Hashem. Yonah, right, is not even exhibiting this fear of Hashem, even though he says he fears Hashem, right, because he's willing to run away, milifnei Hashem. But that doesn't really take away this idea of milifnei Hashem and yiras Hashem, which means the relationship that Yonah has with Hashem is also different than the relationship that these other malachim have. And we're going to see throughout the Sefer what this idea of Yirah really means for us. So look at Radak, we're in source number 3. And look what Radak says. First of all, Radak says, Zeha Navi lo ra'inu nevuah k'tuvah lo. Meaning in Malachim Bet, we don't see any nevuah k'tuvah, right? We only find in our Sefer, in Yonah, right, the story of Nineveh. That's the only thing that we see. And earlier on, it just says, right, that he was a Navi during the time of Yeravam. Let's go on. I'm going to go down a few lines, right? Why does he run away? Because he doesn't want to give a nevuah according to the view of Chazal to the goyim, to they should do tshuva, and here Bnei Israel are not doing tshuva, right? It doesn't look good. So he wants to defend Am Yisrael. So Radak brings in the midrash that why is Yonah running away? Of course he believes in Hashem. Of course he is Hashem. But he doesn't want the goyim to do tshuva from his words, and here Bnei Israel are not doing tshuva. Because what do we see already in Perek Aleph? Who do tshuva automatically, right, when he just speaks to them? The goyim. Right, and here he's at home base, right, and he's telling them to do tshuva, and it's not working. But we also have the exact other opposite midrash, as we said earlier. The other view is that what was Yonah constantly doing to Bnei Israel? Giving them tochachot, and what did they do? They constantly did tshuva, so they constantly said, well, whatever you said is not happening, so you can't be a Navi Anet. So, of course, we all know that the Navi can never win, right? And that's also the ambiguity of Sefer Yonah. But let's go on. That's why there are so many different views. Why does he go, right, to Chutz al Haaretz? Because he felt, right, I don't want to have the Nivuah. I don't want to make the Goyim do tshuva. I have different pages than you, so don't go by my mind. And that's why he runs away. Let's go to the end. V'yesh lish'ol, right? And now this is the big view of Radak, and Ibn Shu'ayb has the same view. V'yesh lish'ol. Let me see in your... What is it on yours? Okay. The last line? Okay, on page 2. V'yesh lish'ol, right? V'yesh lish'ol. Lama nechteva nevuah zo b'kitvei HaKodesh? The Kulal Ninveh. If it's about the Goyim, right, why is it written in Kitvei HaKodesh? We should really just have Nivuot that are written about Jews in Kitvei HaKodesh. Why are we interested in the Goyim? Okay, so turn the page. They didn't email me the final source the way you're getting it, so I have to use mine. So there's a question, yes, he shall, right? Why was it written? So it's very interesting. What does the Radak say? Even though it doesn't say anything about the Jews, it's Musar Yisrael. That we see in Am Nochri that are not from Bnei Israel are so close to tshuva. And the first time the Navi comes and gives them tochacha, they do tshuva. Now you have to understand, it's not just going to be for Anshei Ninveh, it's also for the Malachim in the boat. Which means all the people that Yonah meets, and he just says just a few words, practically nothing, right? The Goyim are all doing tshuva. The Malachim, the sailors on the boat, and Anshei Ninveh. We always focus on Anshei Ninveh, but the first parak is really talking about the people in the boat. They have Yirat Hashem, they bring Korbanot, they're very moved, right, by the words of Yonah. And so too, we see a certain level with Anshei Ninveh. So what do we learn, right? They come back, Shavu b'tshuva shleiman yiratam. V'Yisrael, but Bnei Yisrael, mochichim otam ha-nevi'im, ashkem va'arev, ve'inam shavim. Constantly, constantly, right? We're giving nivu'ah and tochacha to Bnei Yisrael, and they're not doing tshuva, right? Ve'od, and another thing. Lehodiyah ha-pela ha-gadol sha'asa ha-kel yitbarachim ha-navi, right? That he was also in the me'e hadag. It's also the miracle that we're going to see with the fish. But especially, he says, ve'od, the last piece. Lelamed sha'akel yitbarach chomel al ba'alei tshuva me'eze am shiyihyu u'mochel lahem v'kol shekein k'shehem rabim. Which means, really, the Radak says, what is Sefer Yonah coming to teach us about the beautiful gift of tshuva that's universal? It's for anyone who's created B'Tselem Elohim. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for Am Yisrael. Tshuva is a gift for everybody. And that's why when Yonah just says the few words, the Malachim do tshuva right away. Right? They try to change. They try to daven out. We see here as well, with Ninveh, when Yonah comes and tells them, Od 40 yom v'ninveh ne'efachat, they do tshuva, and Hashem cares about all his creations. So here it is, right before Ne'ilah, at the end of Mincha, right? According to Radak, we want to bring also this universal principle. On the one hand, here, Kal v'chomer, Ninveh, right, and the Malachim do tshuva. And here we have this great gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have this relationship, and we're not doing tshuva. But also, it gives us the universal perspective that we really care about everybody. We know we have so many tefillot on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, as we just had, that are universal for the entire world. Which means, chemlat Hashem, chamol al ma'asecha, Hashem is chemla, right, and everybody. We also say that in Ashrei, all the time. Right, which means Rachamav al kol ma'asav, which means Hashem really cares about all his creations. And that's one of the most important lessons, right, that we had in Sefer Yonah, which means it's really about this idea of tshuva and rachamim as a gift for the entire world. And Sefer Yonah is very important because, again, look at Pasuk Bet. We're still in Radak. Okay, we're in Radak. It's the top of page 3 for you. Kum lechel Ninveh. What's the language? Ukra alea ki alta ra'atam lefanai. V'lo katav ma'ikra alea. So what is ra'atam lefanai? Look at the last three lines. Bedor hamabul ube'anshei Sdom. What does Radak want to say here? Radak wants to say here, and as we saw in the language, ki alta ra'atam lefanai is the same language with dor hamabul and anshei Sdom. So what is Sefer Yonah trying to teach us? Don't we have already the story of the Mabul, where we have universal chet? Don't we have the story of Sdom, where we have universal chet? Why do we need the story of Yonah and Ninveh, and the story of Yonah and the Malachim? So if we look very carefully, look at source number 4 in Rishit Perek Vav. The language of Yonah really tries to dovetail the story of the Mabul and of the story of Sdom. And that's why I called it, right, the title that I did, right? What's the water? What's the sinful city? And what's the boat? Look in Bereshit Perek Vav. When Hashem wants to destroy the whole world, right? Ki rabba ra'at ha'adam ba'aretz. Ki v'kol yetzer machshavot libo rak rak kol hayom. Man is evil. Man is bad. Right? In the same language that we saw here in the beginning about Ninveh. Vayinachem Hashem ki asat ha'adam ba'aretz ve'itatzev libo. Hashem's upset that he made man, and he is so distraught, right? And he says, Emchet ha'adam. I'm going to destroy the Adam. Now you remember, Melachim Bet, what was the language? Hashem doesn't want to destroy Am Yisrael because he has Rachamim. The same language. Here we're seeing Hashem destroys, wants to destroy the entire universe, right? All the humans on the face of the earth, because Nichamti ki asitim. Now you'll see the same language when Hashem doesn't want to destroy Ninveh, which means the same language, Vayinachem Hashem ala ra'ah. Here Hashem is upset that he created man. Not that upset in the sense that, oh, Hashem changes his mind, but Hashem always responds to how man acts. And what's the response here to man's sin? Is to destroy man. And the only one who found favor in the eyes of Hashem is Noah. And what happens? He tells them to make a teva, and it's there for 40 days and 40 nights. What do we know about Ninveh? Arba'im yom v'Ninveh nehefachet, which means 40 plays an important role. Not only that, what bird does Noah send out first? He sends out a raven, right? But what's the second bird he sends out? He sends out a Yonah, which means Yonah, our messenger, has to go out several times in our Sefer, Yonah ben Amitai HaNavi. What do we know in Sefer Yonah? Sorry, what do we know in the story of Noah? Right? The Yonah has to be sent out several times to do its job. Right? That's how, right, Noah knows that there is continuation on the face of the earth. Now, if you go on and look further down, what else do we know? Once, right, Noah comes out of the Teva, look at number 7, Bereshit Perek Tet, look at number 7, right? Hashem makes a pact, right? And what's the pact that he makes? Number 1, earlier on, right, I'm not going to bring this destruction anymore, I'm going to make a brit, and you have to make sure that you're not going to commit murder. You have sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach, and one of them is not to commit murder. Look at Pasuk Hei, v'achet dimchem lenafshotechem, al titen aleinu dam naki. That's the language we saw with the sailors, which means the sailors are keeping their side of the bargain. They're doing, right, the sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach, in a sense, till, except for, you know, Avodah Zarah, but they're careful about this idea of not wanting to murder Yonah. And again, the language is similar to the story that we have with Noah, right? Ki shofech dam ha'adam bedamo yishofech, meaning you'll be responsible. So the malachim, the sailors, don't want to be responsible for what's going on. And look at Pasuk Aleph. Vakimoti et briti itchem. What's the brit that Hashem makes with them? He's not going to make a mabul anymore, which means you are not going to be destroyed anymore. But there's no rachamim, there's no chesed, there's no outpouring of love of Hashem for all his creatures at this point. Right now we see, if you do evil, I'm just not going to destroy you. I'm not going to bring a mabul. And what's the brit? Kashti ba'anan, that I'm not going to destroy the world in this way. But there's no special compassion. There's no special connection that Hashem has that's written in the story after Noah. And the same thing we're going to find with the story of Sdom. Look at the story of Sdom. Look at number 8. In the story of Sdom, we have the same idea. In the story of Sdom, what's happening here? Right? What does Hashem hear? Right? He hears that Tzakatam ba, right? And he wants to destroy Sdom. And what is he going to say to Abraham? Look at Abraham Pasuk Yutet. כי הדתיב למען אשר יצווה את בניו ואת ביתו אחריו ושמרו דרך השם לעשות צדקה ומשפט. What does he know about Abraham? Abraham's going to do justice and righteousness. So he's not going to cover what he's going to do to Sdom. And what does Hashem tell him? Pasuk Kaf. Zakat Sdom va'amora ki rabah v'chatatam ki kavda me'od. They have a heavy sin, similar to what we saw before, right? With Nineveh and with the whole universe. Erdana ve'ereha ketsa'akata ba'elai. Again, Sefer Yonah uses the same language as the Mabul and the destruction of Sdom. And what happens? Abraham, Pasuk Kafbet, is still standing lifnei Hashem. Just like Yonah is trying to run away from Hashem, Abraham is still standing lifnei Hashem. And what does Abraham do? He argues with Hashem. But he asks, ha'af tispe tzadikim rasha, which means, are you going to destroy the tzadik with the rasha? Which means Abraham doesn't say, forgive them. Abraham doesn't say, oh, please send messengers down to Sdom for them to do tshuva. If there are tzadikim in the city, then their righteousness is going to stand up for the other people in the city. Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat kafei. Look at pasuk kafei. Hashem is described here as a judge. And also with the Mabul, Hashem judges the land and the earth and the world to destroy everybody. The new theme that we are having in Sefer Yonah is that for the general population, what does Hashem have? A compassion and a love that if they do tshuva, they are going to be forgiven. Because the two messengers that go to Sdom, they don't tell them to do tshuva. What do they say? They just come to destroy the city. They don't come and give messages out to the city, do tshuva, all of a sudden Hashem is going to destroy the city. They just come and they save Lot. Which means the story of Yonah is really to show us this idea that the Radak and Ibn Shu'ayb mentions. Which means that Hashem has compassion on everybody. Till now, we don't have a story in Tanakh that Hashem has this chemla and rachamim, that Hashem wants everybody to do tshuva, and Hashem does not want to destroy the people who have sinned. Because really, in real life, what do we see is the usual theme? The usual theme is, you committed a crime, you deserve punishment. Crime and punishment. How can you get away? How could just saying, right, by words or by actions that you're undoing what you did, can you really undo what you did? Sefer Yonah says that you can undo what you did, and that there is this concept of tshuva that's universal across the whole board. That's what being created, B'Tselem Elohim, is. So that is a very important idea and concept that we have in Sefer Yonah. So let's see in the rest of Sefer Yonah what is going on. So now we're in number 10, right? We're in number 10, and we're coming to Perek Bet. And Perek Bet, fine for me. Does Yonah do tshuva? No. He doesn't say, oh, I shouldn't have run away from you, Hashem. Right? They throw him over. A big fish swallows him. Vayitpalel Yonah. For Yonah and Hashem, Yonah doesn't say, oh, I did the wrong thing, because he's really still sure that running away was the right thing to do, because he doesn't want to give out his nevuah. But, right, in the belly of the fish, he cries out to Hashem. And if you look very carefully at all the psukim, it's almost exactly psukim that match up with Tehillim. Look at the next page, right? Because what is the message of Perek Bet and Yonah? The idea of tefillah. Yonah is not saying, I'm sorry, right, to Hashem. Oh, I did the wrong thing. I shouldn't have run away. Right? And he's almost identical with all the classic psukim that we have in Sefer Tehillim, right? About tefillah, about closeness with Hashem, about realizing the power of Hashem. Which means in Perek Bet, what we're seeing is that Yonah, who tried to run away from Hashem, is trying to now get closer to Hashem, emotionally, right? Connecting to Hashem, realizing the koach of Hashem, even though what isn't he doing? He is not admitting that running away was the wrong thing to do. And to try to conquer and not to say his nevuah was the wrong thing to do. But what is Yonah betting on? Right? He's betting on that close relationship that he has with Hashem. That he's going to eventually come back, right, to daven to Hashem and be close with Hashem. And he's going to bring his korbanot, right, that he owes Hashem. Which means he is really speaking about the closeness that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this tefillah, because you all understand, tefillah and tshuva are similar, but they're very different. Tefillah is about coming close to Hashem, making that relationship with Hashem, whereas tshuva is really doing tshuva with the chataim that you did, stopping to do them, right, making that kabbalah la'atid. It's a very different process. Which means Yonah wants to recapture that close connection and relationship that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not understanding or not realizing that just like Hashem cares about Yonah and is going to listen to his tefillah, Hashem cares about all creations. And that's why Hashem cared about the Malachim. And that's why Hashem's going to care about Nineveh. Which means Yonah is wrapped up and he sees, I have this special relationship with Hashem, so I have this tefillah and Hashem is going to care about me and save me. Right? He wants to get out of that belly of the fish. That's why he's davening to Hashem. And that's why, in one sense, it's a little successful. Because what do we see in Perek Gimel? Right? Number 19. Right? Vayehi dvar Hashem al Yonah shenit. Right? When Hashem calls out to Yonah a second time, what does Hashem tell him to do? Kum lech al Nineveh. It's the same language. Kum lech al Nineveh he'ira gdola kri elea. Et ha'kriya asher anochi dover elecha. That's the same thing. Right? But it doesn't tell us what the kriya is going to be. Only when Yonah says the kriya finally do we know what it is, which means you have to understand the way Sefer Yonah is written, it's really holding out on us what this nivuah is the whole time. We only find it out here in Perek Gimel, right? And he finally goes in, and we know that it's a three-day walk. And he only goes one day in. And what does he say? Od arba'im yom v'ninveh nefachat. Right? Another 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And we have to figure out, is he screaming it out, or is he just like saying it? You know, I want to be Yotzei with my nivuah. But what is unusual here with the response? Just like with the Malachim, right? The minute he says it, what happens? Vayaminu anshei Nineveh, right? Anshei Nineveh believe. Now, because there's such an immediate response all the time, the Yerushalmi in Gemara Tainis, right, Bet Aleph, says that Tshuva shel Rimiyut asu anshei Nineveh. The Yerushalmi doesn't like the Tshuva of anshei Nineveh. It's too quick. It's too facile. Just like with the captains on the boat, right? Just like with the sailors, which means, boom, you tell them to tshuva, they do tshuva, it's never going to be long-lasting. It's quick. It's, you know, on the moment, oh, you have an inspirational lecture, you go back, oh, I'm going to be good. 3 days later, of course, we're all back to our original behavior. So the Yerushalmi says it doesn't like this response in Sefer Yonah because it's too quick, too soon, and it has to be superficial. Because what do we know Nineveh does later on? Nineveh comes and is gole aseret hashvatim. They're the ones who bring the aseret hashvatim into galut. So we know they're not good for a very long time. So the Yerushalmi is actually critical, which means the lesson of Yonah, according to the Yerushalmi, right, is not to do this quick, oh, superficial, public tshuva, because that never really stays long term. To learn this story, you understand, you don't want to be like them. But on the other hand, pshat, right, emi krayot semidei pshuto, we still have the story of Nineveh, and this is what we read is the Haftarah. So, Vayaminu anshei Nineveh ve'elokim, immediately they believe ve'elokim. And what do? They call a fast, they wear sackcloth, migdolam vad ktanam, right? And even the king, now what else is important here, that we have grassroots tshuva. All other places in Tanakh, who really leads the tshuva? There is always a Navi, there is always an important person. Moshe davens for Bnei Yisrael with the Egel. Shmuel is the one who davens for Bnei Yisrael in Sefer Shmuel. Almost in all places, we have an intermediary. The beauty in Sefer Yonah is that once Yonah tells his words, right, we have an automatic tshuva. They do tshuva, it's from the grassroots, and then the king joins in, and that is something very unique, which means we don't have someone as an intermediary. What's the important message that we have, right, on Mincha, right before Ne'ilah, that we don't need an intermediary to do tshuva. The beauty of Chana, she taught us that with tefillah. You don't need an intermediary for tefillah, and that's why we read it on Rosh Hashanah as the Haftarah. You don't need anybody to be that intermediary to get to Hashem. The beauty here with tshuva, you don't need someone to be the intermediary to do tshuva for you or to daven for you here. You can do it yourself. Even people like Nineveh, who are so far gone that we constantly speak about them, like the Mabul and like Zdom, even they have a chance to do this tshuva mle'ah. And what do they do? Right? The king also says, oh, I'm not going to sit on my beautiful throne. I'm not going to wear my beautiful clothes. I'm going to sit on the afer. And he cries out. And what does he say? People and animals should not eat anything. And what does everyone do? They do this again, right? Vayitkasu sakim. Everyone wears sackcloth, right? The people, the animal. This is again, the Midrash is very upset. People, we can understand, they're putting animals on their same level. That's a little disappointing, which means it doesn't show that they really see themselves, B'tzelem Elokim. But we're going to give them a pass anyway, right? They cry out to Hashem, Vayashuvu ish midarko hara'a umina chamas asher bekapehem. Why does Hashem want to destroy the world in the Mabul? Because of Hamas. Here too, these people are doing Hamas. And yet by undoing the Hamas, by returning the money, by trying to make a just society, right, they are already on the right path. And what happens here? Miyodea yashuv v'nicham ha'elokim. Right? Nicham Hashem, nichamti ki asiti et ha'adam. In the Mabul, Hashem is upset that he made man, and that's why he's going to destroy them. Here, what do we see? The people are doing tshuva because maybe Hashem will change his mind to save us. Which means the view in Sefer Yonah, and the thrust of Sefer Yonah, is all about that Hashem is going to change his mind and let us do tshuva and let us be saved. Vilonoved. And what does Hashem see? Pasuk Yud. Vayara Elokim et Maaseh. And before he heard their voice, right? And Hashem goes down with Zdom to see if they're doing this evil. But here we see Hashem sees your tshuva. Hashem sees if you try to undo. Kishavu midarkam ra'ah. Vayinachem Elokim ala ra'ah asher diber lasot lahem. It's almost the same language that we have with the Egel. But there, who did all the davening for Bnei Israel? It was Moshe. Here, who do the davening or who do the tshuva themselves? Anshei Nineveh. And that's the big difference that we have here. So let's turn. Okay, the Radak says something very interesting. The Radak, we're on number 20, page 6, for anyone who wants to find it. So what do we see? Something very interesting here. The Radak says in Pasuk Dalid, right, he's crying out to Nineveh, right, because they are kemo mahapechat Zdom va'amora, ki maaseah hayu ki maaseihem. Radak wants to continue the theme that the actions of Nineveh were like Zdom in the Mabul. Their language that we use in both places is very similar. What I would like to add to the Radak is that Yonah is the counter story to the Mabul and to Zdom, which means the fact that Bnei Israel have tshuva and have an avenue to get close to Hashem is one thing. But the fact that the world also has this avenue of doing tshuva and Hashem is not going to destroy, that's what Sefer Yonah is. It's a response to the Mabul. It's the response to Zdom. And let's go on. We're in Yonah Perek Dalet. So what happens here, right, in Perek Dalet? So Yonah's very upset. Vait palel al Hashem vayomer. We're in Ber 24. Okay? The psukim I gave you in Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel are to show that the theology of tshuva is very elaborate in the Nevi'im Achronim. We don't have this kind of, we have the midot in Chumash, but in Nevi'im Achronim, this whole idea of tshuva, and that's what Hashem wants, this idea of tshuva, that Bnei Yisrael should do tshuva. Of course we have it in Chumash, and we see it with the Egel, we see it with the midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the details, the philosophy of it, the theology of it, is really written all over, in Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel especially, and that's why I brought those psukim. But let's go to Yonah Perek Dalet, we're number 24. Vayiral Yonah ra'a gdola vayicharlo. Here he's so successful. Anshei Nineveh do tshuva. Why is he so upset? Right? But he davens to Hashem and he's very upset. He says, you know why? Ki adati ki ata kel rachum v'chanun, erech apayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al hara'a. He's upset because Hashem is rachamim. Which means now we get the answer to all the pieces why Yonah's running away. Which means Yonah wanted rachamim of Hashem because when he's in me'e hadaga, when he's in the fish, he cries out to Hashem and he wants to be saved. Right? He wants to have the rachamim, even though he went against Hashem's word. Right? But he doesn't want the world in general to have this midah of rachamim. Because I know that you're rachum v'chanun and erech apayim. Now, what word is missing here? Right? Emet. Right? We also don't have it with Moshe when he is giving the Shlosh Esrei Midot back, because what does Moshe want? According to the Ramban, Moshe wants the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Am Yisrael, and if Hashem dealt with Emet, of course he shouldn't give rachamim to the Egel. And that's what Yonah is doing here as well. He's Yonah ben Amitai. He wants to claim that he wants to see the world according to Emet. Yonah ben Amitai. Yonah, son of the Emet. Right? And we don't have Emet here because that's what bothers Yonah. Yonah wants it to be tit for tat. If you do a crime, you should get a punishment. Not like we see in Yirmiyahu in those psukim. Not like we see in Yechezkel that really there is rachamim. And that's why he wants to die. Meaning he doesn't want to see a world which is run by rachamim. And yet when Hashem gives him the kikayon, what is he so happy? He's happy about rachamim that Hashem gives him with the kikayon. And yet he doesn't see that the way Hashem is treating him, right? He says, for me this is good, but not for the people in general. And that's why he's constantly saying, I want to die, right? How could you give rachamim to the city? When Hashem takes away the kikayon, harali ad mavet. He also is claiming that he wants to die. But constantly, what do we see he's doing? He's building himself a sukkah to make sure he doesn't die. He wants to see what's going to happen in the city. Which means, about himself, he's so ambivalent, but he's very clear about everybody else. And that's why Hashem ends, right, the whole sefer with a question. And Hashem has the last word, pasuk yud aleph. Vani lo achus al Ninve ha'ira gdola asher yesh ba harbe mishtei misrei ribo adam, which means, and I shouldn't have rachamim. I had rachamim on you. I even gave you a kikayon. You're one person, right? And you don't think I should have rachamim on this whole city? Which means the story of Yonah is really about this idea of rachamim, that Hashem runs the world with rachamim, and Hashem is giving a gift of tshuva. With the mabul in Sdom, we don't see that gift of tshuva. And not only is there tshuva, but tshuva is accessible by every single person. And every single person that was created, B'Tselem Elohim. And what we see is that we even have something beyond. We just did Shabbat tshuva. We just did the Haftarah of Shabbat tshuva. Look at number 26 in Yoel. So Sefer Yonah is a very important Sefer, because Hashem cares about everybody. There's tshuva. When you are in the end zone, right, close to the end zone, when you're davening, right, on Yom Kippur, you have that last tshuva to do, that last real full vidui before we get to Ne'ilah, right? You have to understand that Hashem cares about all his people, all his Yitzurim. And you fall into that category, and you can have Yirat Hashem and Yirat Achet, just like the Malachim, just like Anshe Ninveh, and stay in that level of Yirat Hashem, of fear. And then you're like all the different humanity on the face of the earth that has a chance to do tshuva. But our tshuva, we really want to do the next level. And that's why already on Shabbat tshuva, we are reading this other piece from Yoel. Yonah is the tshuva for the world. And that is the level we expect from everybody. Hashem cares about everybody. And since we are all also humans, we have that level. But we have this other gift. Look at number 26. The gift that we have in Yoel Perek Bet, which we just read in the Haftarah this past Shabbat, I'm going to start with Pasuk Yud Bet, right? Shuvu Adai B'chol Levavchem. Which means, just like our Haftarah starts, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki kashalta ba'avonecha, right, this idea of tshuva, here we have this as well. Shuvu Adai, which means, it's not just to stop the bad things that you're doing. What did Anshe Ninveh do? They didn't do the bad things that they were doing, but we don't see them moving in any specific direction. What we see here in Yoel is a move towards something, is a move towards Hashem. What the people in Ninveh do, this idea that you can neutralize your sin is still amazing, because really crime deserves punishment. You do a crime, you deserve a punishment. The beauty in Sefer Yonah is that you could do tshuva, and any person in the face of the earth, if he does tshuva, does not get the punishment that goes according to it. Again, there are little ramifications, but that's the basic tenet. What Sefer Yoel shows us about the relationship of Am Yisrael and Hashem is that we have the ability not just to neutralize the sin and get back to square one. We have a chance to move forward with tshuva. And that's why Yonah was constantly banking on that special relationship that he had with Hashem, with tefillah. He says, like, I'm from your special people, right? Don't I, you know, have a special relationship with you? But he wanted to have that special relationship and not let the world have that kind of ability of doing tshuva. He felt it wasn't fair. But what we see is, of course, the whole world, having Tzelem Elohim, has that ability to do tshuva. But our tshuva is not just the tshuva b'yirah that gets you back to status quo, square one. Our tshuva is one that moves us ahead. And what does it do? It's shuvu adai. We can go all the way to Hashem, b'chol levavchem. What was missing in Sefer Yonah? We don't have their emotions. We don't see that they're doing it b'chol levavam. We don't see that they're really putting everything that they have and that they're transforming themselves. Here, the tzom, the b'chiyu misped, right? They're crying, right? And they're pouring out their hearts to Hashem. They're tearing their clothes, right? And they know ki chanun v'rachum Hashem v'nicham al hara'ah. Almost the same language as in Yonah. So what's the difference with Yoel? What's the difference in Hosea? Right? Because what happens to us is v'hishir acharav bracha. We're in Pasuk Yodalad. After we do tshuva, v'hishir acharav bracha. Which means it's not just that Hashem is not going to destroy us. We want a bracha afterwards. We're trying to get closer to Hashem, to develop a relationship with Hashem. And that's why when we do our Yom Kippur, Tetvav, we blow the shofar, right? We call a fast. We get everyone together, right? All the ages. Also in Ninveh, it was old and young. But here, right, we have all the different ages, even someone who's a chatan, even kala, even someone, right, the youngest, 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 they come, and what do? They come to the ulam and the mizbeach, and they cry. Pasuk Yud Zayin. And what do they daven? Chusa Hashem Alamcha. Look at the last words in Yonah, right? Vani lo achus, I shouldn't have rachamim. They're doing whatever they do, and they're saying, maybe Hashem will forgive us. But us as Am Yisrael, what relationship do we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're telling Hashem, Chusa Hashem Alamcha. We can demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have this special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's not like the Malachim. It's not like Nineveh out of fear and we sur meira, we don't do evil and that will get us back to square one. We have this relationship. We know that on Yom Kippur, this connection that we have with Hashem of going forward, of having this tefillah that gets us closer, of the tzom, the b'chiyu misped, is that we're demanding of Hashem to have rachamim on us. And because we are part of Hashem's people, vayikane, look at Pasuk Yudchet, vayikane Hashem la'artso, vayachmol alamo. Right, this idea of chemla. And even beyond that, right, Hashem is going to bring bracha tirosh, which means Hashem is going to bring bracha, as we see in Pasuk Yudchet. And that is the difference. And that's why in the Gemara, right, in Talmud Bavli, Masechet Yuma, Daf Pei Vav Amud Bet, it's on the bottom of page 7. We have this beautiful idea. Amar Lakish, right? Gdola tshuva shezdonot nasot lakish gagot. Right? Reish Lakish says, what does tshuva do? It's if you did sins on purpose, and they were premeditated, right, then they become as if they were shgagot. That they were by accident, that they weren't premeditated. Shene'emar, shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, ki kashalta ba'avonecha. Which means, sin is a michshol, and when you do a sin, but you do tshuva, right, it could bring you back to square one. It wasn't on purpose. And we know that when it's not on purpose, your punishment is very different than when it was premeditated, when the sin is premeditated, or when a crime is premeditated. Look further on. What do we see? Right? V'ha'amar Reish Lakish, g'dola tshuva shezdonot nasot lo kizchuyot. But we have another version of Reish Lakish, that the zdonot become like zchuyot. How could that be? Either, you know, you did it on purpose, it's not like you did it on purpose, right? But all of a sudden, if you did it on purpose, the sin becomes like a merit, a positive, and a check plus column. How could that be? Because what does Yechezkel say? B'shuv rasha mirishato v'asa mishpat utzdaka alehem, right? V'chaya, right? Hu yichye. So what's the question? Why do we have the idea hu yichye? So we have a beautiful idea here. If you do tshuva mi'ira'ah, you can erase everything and you go back to square one. It's like you didn't do any bad. So you're like Anshei Nineveh, you're like the Malachim. But if you do tshuva me'ahava, if you do tshuva that you want to transform yourself, and you're looking at the evil that you did or the bad deeds that you did, and you're not just undoing them, you're not just returning the bad things, right? You're not just saying you're sorry and undoing it and making a clean slate to square one, but you're really using those experiences to transform yourself, to get closer to Hashem, to really understand, right, that you can transform yourself. That's a tshuva me'ahava, because that's a tshuva that you want to move ahead. That's a tshuva that you really want to develop yourself, right, to be closer to Hashem, to have that special relationship. So you can still, right, at Mincha and Yom Kippur, do mi'ira'ah, you just don't want to get the punishment. Ah, you just don't want to be destroyed, so you're willing, okay, we'll wipe the slate clean. But a tshuva me'ahava is using all those chata'im, right, and really doing tshuva for them in a way that you learned your lesson, that you're able to move forward, that they're really transformative. And that's why Yom Kippur is really about, look at number 28, Yom Kippur is really about tahara. Yom Kippur is not so much about tshuva, it is, right? But it's even more so about tahara. Look at Pasuk Lamed. These are the psukim that we have about Yom Kippur. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem litaher etchem mikol chatoteichem lifnei Hashem titaharu. Which means tshuva on Yom Kippur is about tahara. We are looking to really recreate and come closer to Hashem and not have any separation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what going into a mikveh is about. You can't have any chatzitza, any separation between you and the water. Hashem is like our water. He is our mikvah on Yom Kippur. And we go into Yom Kippur, we're immersing ourselves in the ahava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the only way we could do that is not to have a chatzitza, not to have a separation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the only way we could do that is with tshuva shlema, is with having this ahava, this idea that we transformed, not only to go to status quo, because that is tshuva miyirah. There's still distance when there's yirah. But ahava, that idea of wanting to become close, just like the Rambam talks about, the tshuva has to be transformative. It's not just I'm going to undo the actions that I did, I'll give back the things, I'll say I'm sorry. It's also transformative. You have to transform who you are in your midot, and that is what tshuva shlema really is. And that's what we're looking for, tahara. And that's why we have this beautiful view by Rabbi Akiva, lifnei mi atem metaharim umi metaheretchem avichem sheva shamayim. The relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one with father and son, mother and daughter, right? It's a parent relationship, which means Hashem wants us to do better, just like a parent always wants the child to do better. And even if you have an argument with the parent, right, if you fix it, it's not like, oh, you go to square one. You use that argument or that event to become closer to the parent. And that's what tshuva me'ava is for us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Rabbi Akiva says is so special for us. Lifnei mi atem metaharim umi metaheretchem. Hashem wants you back. Hashem wants you to do this tahara. So yeah, you know, there's tshuva me'ira, I'm afraid. But that's not what Yom Kippur is about. Yom Kippur is about this tshuva me'ava, is going that extra step. And that's what we saw in Yoel. It's to bring bracha, it's to bring that ability to say, Hashem, you owe this to me. Right? We have this relationship. And that's why Rabbeinu Yonah also, in his Sefer Shari Tshuva, writes, right, what's so important about Yom Kippur? Of course tshuva, right? But it's mikom tchatotechem lifnei Hashem titaharu. What was Yonah trying to run away from? He was trying to run away milifnei Hashem. But what are we really trying to do on Yom Kippur and in our life? We want to be lifnei Hashem. The whole idea is to be lifnei Hashem, to have that ability, right, to be close, right, to try to get that kind of intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why in Tehillim Perek Lamed Daled it's so important to us, right, L'chu banim shimuli, right, Hashem is talking to us like His children, Yirat Hashem alamdechem, and even Yiras Hashem, you have to have this idea of parent-child, right, Mia ish hachafetz chayim ohev yamim lirotov. If you want to be a person who wants life, ohev yamim lirotov, and to see, right, this love, right, that's going to be in this world, and to see goodness, netzor lashon chamira, right, you don't say evil, usfatecha midaber mirma, right, sur meira, you have to turn away from evil, right, that's what Anshei Ninveh did. But what do we have to do? Ve'aseh tov. We want to go that extra mile. Aseh tov. Bakesh shalom v'radfehu. What we're looking for, right, our inspiration from Sefer Yonah, we could be okay with just that, but we want to do bakesh shalom v'radfehu. We want tahara. We want to feel that ne'ila when we say Hashem hu ha'elokim in Shema Yisrael, that we are close like this, that we are one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we have achieved that level of yichidus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is what we are looking for. So Yonah helps us to move in that direction. But each one of us, right, understands and learns from those words, right, what is their job to do on Yom Kippur? What is our goal? What is our goal for the 30 days of Elul and the 10 days to Yom Kippur? What are our 40 days? Our 40 days are to achieve this tahara. So I want to wish everyone a Yom Kippur of tahara and ahava and gmar tov to everybody.